Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce Do Good in the Copper Country. This new program recognizes the incredible volunteers that make the Copper Country community such a great place to live, work, grow, and play. If you know an amazing volunteer, the time to nominate them is now. Find a list of volunteer opportunities in our area and see a list of previously recognized volunteers at dogoodcc.org. Volunteers can come from any organization, event, or purpose, but must be nominated by someone like you. Nominate the next Do Good in the Copper Country volunteer at dogoodcc.org.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today on this Labor Day weekend. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Find out more about them at phfgive.org. One of the Copper Country's most vital human service agencies is celebrating a big anniversary. Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly, 40 years of service here in the Copper Country. And I welcome into the program Kathy Cass Aiton, who is the director.
Thank you.
And Gail Ross, who helps with marketing and pretty much anything else. That she empties waste baskets, and it's a...
she cooks. She's an excellent cook.
Very talented, very helpful, and very essential lady. Welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you, Todd.
40 years. Take me back now, Kathy. 40 years. Because if you look at the map, and you know a bit about the Little Brothers organization. It's an international organization.
That's correct.
It's based in France.
Yes.
Virtually all of its branches are in major cities.
Yes.
How the heck did a Little Brothers branch wind up here in the middle of nowhere?
Great question. Well, actually, we were just reminiscing this morning, but my husband, Mike Aiton, had a history of volunteering with the organization in Chicago and then worked for them for a short time in the Twin Cities. And at the time, the national organization was putting it out there for looking at expanding. And Mike knew people in this area. He was familiar with the area, had purchased some property here, and he thought it would be great to do a rural expansion. So he really did a lot of research into three or four areas in the United States, including Houghton County, because at the time, Houghton County had the highest poverty rate in the state of Michigan. And of course, with our winters and the whole mining history and mines closing and families leaving to find work, there's a high percentage of elderly people in the area.
I was going to say, it really, 40 years ago, would have been an excellent fit for just the reasons that you had mentioned. The mines were closing, people were moving out of the area, and here left behind were mom and dad, and not necessarily by choice, but son and daughter and families, they had to find work somewhere, and they were moving down to Detroit or Chicago or Milwaukee or someplace like that. Mom and dad didn't want to leave. They had friends here. They had a house here. But all of a sudden, they were alone, and they were aging, and there are problems that can come from that.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the scenario was. And on top of that, there just weren't services. You know, the metropolitan areas just historically have more programs available for people.
Well, they have programs and they have transportation. There are bus lines and taxi cabs in major cities, things of that nature. Here in the Copper Country, if you live out in rural Atlantic Mine, there's no one to call, basically.
Exactly. So they did this research, and they found this area really was a great opportunity. So Mike and a friend of his, Roy Evenson, came here in 1982. The proposal was accepted to start Little Brothers here, so they came up together and had a small office on White Street in Hancock for the first year, and just started visiting elderly friends and found out early on that there was no programs available to get rides to doctor appointments. So initially, you know, Little Brothers' two core programs are friendly visiting and holiday celebrations. But a unique thing about Little Brothers is that we can adapt to the needs of the community.
Well, and you should adapt. You know, it's not the community's job to adapt to the organization. It's the organization's job to look at the community and say, hey, what's needed? How can we fill the need?
Yes. And they started transporting people right away to doctor appointments. So that program became a full-time program.
And that was an especially critical program 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
Because 40 years ago, we did not have the facilities that we have here now.
Correct.
More people had to go to Marquette. More people had to go to Green Bay or Duluth or places like that. We've seen a significant growth in the number of services being offered by our hospitals here. Obviously, rides are still needed, but at least they're a lot shorter in many cases than they were probably 40 years ago.
Yes, and fortunately, we do still do regional transports to Marquette,
especially. Yeah, because it is still needed.
It's a huge need. So that became a program early on, along with our Wood program, because obviously, as they got meeting people, realized that so many people still heated their homes with wood.
Yes.
And that program, both these programs, are just continue to be huge needs in our community.
Let's talk about the Wood program, because I know that's underway in terms of getting stocks set up for this coming winter.
Yes.
You've already got people working on this.
We do. We actually have a great setup. Debbie Hart, who coordinates our Wood program, does an amazing job. So a few years back, we purchased some land between Chassel and Houghton that is our own wood lot. And just this summer, we've been building a big wood storage shed, because up till now, we've been cutting and splitting all our wood and then digging it out of the snow anytime it needs to be delivered to somebody during the winter.
Well, and let's face it, if you need wood right now, you don't need wood that has to take a few weeks to try to dry back out again.
That's right.
There is this concept that it should be and hopefully would be dry.
Yes.
This is a big step forward in terms of building a building to keep this all dry.
It's a huge, huge step for us. This has been a dream for us for years, because the bulk of our wood firewood program happens in the fall, but we're available to help people all year. And we do get many, many requests during the winter of people who have been in crisis or something unexpected happens and they need firewood. So this is huge for us now to have a shelter to be able to pull wood out of.
I'm guessing that perhaps this is the only Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly branch that does have a firewood program.
Yes.
One in Paris, I'm thinking probably not.
Well, one of the key words here, Todd, is the word rural.
Yes.
I mean, that's huge. We're the only rural chapter in Little Brothers, and all of our services are free, and so that's huge as well. But that's one of our challenges, too, is because we're so rural, there are elders that live way out in the boonies, if you will, that need our assistance and that need help.
You put a lot of miles on per elder.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
If you were to break it down that way.
Yes.
It probably is relative to the number of customers per mile for power lines. You know, that's very low out here. It's one of the reasons our power costs are so expensive, because you have to run a lot of line to reach not many customers. Yeah. You have to put a lot of miles on to reach some people who are, you know, not exactly concentrated in neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
How many volunteers does it take to run Little Brothers?
Well, we're proud to say, though, we have about 1,300 volunteers who help throughout the year in every capacity. So that's from our medical transportation program to delivering food bags to visiting to helping on the holidays and then even doing things behind the scenes.
I saw that you had some volunteers who have been with you basically from the start.
Yes.
40 years now of volunteering to help Little Brothers. They all obviously, I looked at their picture, because you put it on the Facebook page. I looked at the picture, I thought, oh, these people started when they were about 3.
Because
they didn't look that old. They all looked to be in pretty good shape there. But a lot of your volunteers are also seniors.
They are. That's true. So, and a couple things I wanted to mention about our 40-year volunteers specifically, you know, they have kids of their own who are adults and now are that next generation helping out with the holidays. So to me, that's such a huge testament to Little Brothers and what volunteering means to everybody. And then just, you know, we do have a large percentage of our volunteers are older.
Well, and a lot of those people are retired.
Yes.
It's a lot easier to volunteer when you don't have to go to work for 8 or 9 hours a day.
Yes.
And so you've got people who have come out of the workforce who are still in good shape and active, and they come in and volunteer for Little Brothers. And I suppose at some point down the road, maybe the table turns, and those people, if they're, as their health declines, they get a little bit older, suddenly they are more on the client side.
Very possible. And that, and we've seen that through the years. You know, Little Brothers is all about relationships between our staff and elders and volunteers and donors and people who volunteered years ago who helped with our holidays, and that was such an important part of their lives, now are on the receiving end. Not always easy to be on the receiving end.
No, it isn't. It isn't really. And I think especially in an area like this, where we kind of pride ourselves on self-sufficiency. We got that little sissy pride thing going on. And it's very, very difficult for people to turn around and ask for help. And yet, you know, I try to remind people sometimes, you volunteered, you would step up if somebody you knew needed help. It is sometimes actually for the person who's being asked. It's an honor to be asked to serve and to be able to help a friend or somebody who really needs some assistance.
Yes.
So don't deny that person that opportunity. If you really need the help, ask for it, because they're standing there willing to help.
Absolutely. Our volunteers want to be helpful.
So let's wrap up the wood thing real quickly, because if people are listening, if I'm a senior and I'm going into the winter and my wood pile is pretty much empty at this point, how do I get into that program? Do I have to apply for that? Is there some type of criteria that has to be met?
The best thing to do is call us. Call our office at 482-6944. Debbie does the screening. It's pretty simple. We're just here to help. We always take new people.
And don't be afraid to make the call.
Absolutely.
They will be happy to talk with you.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to make the call. Let's talk about what's been happening the last year or so now. Prices have been going up. Food especially. Food prices, what I'm paying at the grocery store is significantly higher than it was a year ago and 2 years ago. We've got seniors on fixed incomes. What they're receiving isn't going up at all, or
not
certainly
relative to the cost.
Yeah, certainly not nearly as much as what's happening at the grocery store. How much stress are we seeing in our fixed income senior community here?
Well, Todd, one of the things, too, and you can throw COVID in there just for a bonus.
I was going to do that in a moment.
Little Brothers has been faced with some large challenges in the last couple of years, and that includes our volunteers, our staff, and how do we manage. When you think about our philosophy of Little Brothers, we do in-person visiting. That's the core program, our friendly visiting program. Now, you take that out of the picture, and you have a lot of lonely, isolated elders that, you know, a phone call is good, and we amped up our programs to do the best we could during COVID to try and reach our isolated elders, but it was challenging, and it continues to be. The inflation, all of that are just challenging factors that have been going on for the last 2 years.
Has that put an additional strain on your food pantry?
I would say thank goodness for our food pantry, because we've been able to accommodate the needs so far. So that's been really good. And something special about our monthly food bag program is that we personalize the bags to each individual's wishes. So they're getting the foods that they want.
Well, and not getting foods that they look at and say, gee, I either don't like that, or for some reason I can't eat that.
Right.
Which happens, unfortunately, sometimes.
Yes. But I, you know, the food cost and fuel costs are...
Yeah, home heating costs are up considerably, and you see these seniors and this choice between having a meal and buying medicine.
Yes.
Turning the heat down in the house another 5 degrees or something like that when they already had it pretty cold to begin with, that doesn't work well when you're 80.
Right, and that And I think that's what makes our wood program so important, because we've even through the years have thought, really, how long will we have a wood program? I mean, eventually will everybody move to some other source of heat? But that has not happened with us. We continue to grow every year.
And even people who don't primarily heat with wood, many of them have a fireplace at least, or a wood-burning stove, or an add-on to the furnace.
Yes.
that they can use if they need to.
Yes.
To cut back on the fuel cost on the other side, whether it be propane or natural gas or heating oil, things of that nature. Talking with Kathy Cass Aiton and Gail Ross from Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly. I want to hit on this before we get done, and I know that it's getting pretty full, but you do have a big 40th anniversary celebration coming up Friday.
We do. Actually, we're really excited about it. We've been celebrating all year with different events that we've done, but this is our big, big event. And this is a gala we're doing at the Michigan Tech at the MUB. On Friday evening, we'll have a social hour and dinner, and we'll have some presentations and take some walks through our history, and it's very exciting.
And the good news is that as we speak here, recording this on Wednesday, that you're practically sold out.
Yes.
The bad news for anybody who might be interested in going is that you're practically sold out.
Yes.
But there are always some cancellations, people's plans change, illness, things of that nature. So if you are interested in going to this event on Friday, call the Little Brothers office on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
And find out what the availability is, and maybe get on a waiting list if there isn't anything available, but there might still be.
There might be. You know, things will change. We'll expect some things to change throughout the week leading up to Friday, but I think it'll be a great event, and we're really very proud.
You're ticking down on the ticket sales for the Mustang giveaway, too.
We are. That drawing will be the following Friday on the 16th.
If people want to get Mustang tickets, how do they do that?
They can stop in. They can call our office. They can go on our website, houghton.littlebrothers.org. So many ways.
Where does the money from the Mustang go? I know that many of the things that you do, the money gets shifted to this fund and this project, or over to this fund and this project. And of course, some things are just for general operations.
Yes, that's an excellent question. So all the money raised from our Mustang sweepstakes goes directly to our medical transportation program.
Well, that would make sense. It's a vehicle.
Yes. And all our money raised stays here. Nothing goes anywhere outside of Little Brothers here in Upper
Michigan. So there isn't a cut that has to go to the national organization?
No.
Or anything
I
like
mean,
that?
We have dues that we do pay annually to our national, but basically everything raised stays here.
Let's talk a little bit more about medical transport. You've expanded that over the last few years, Baraga County, Ontonagon County. How has that gone?
COVID really affected our medical transportation program in every way. So most of our transports are from Houghton County and from Kiwanis County to the local areas.
Okay.
Baraga County a little bit. We would like to grow it, and we're actually working on some possible grants to help with that, because the fuel cost certainly affects our volunteers, because our transportation program has always been, we have vehicles that people can use, but most of the time volunteers would use their own cars and their own gas. So we're looking at some creative ways to help volunteers out with fuel costs.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the price of gasoline on a trip to Marquette or something like that. It's really that's really jacked things up a little bit. So do you need more volunteers to make that work?
We are in dire need right now of volunteers for our medical transportation program.
Is that just here in Houghton and Keweenaw counties, or can you also use them now in Baraga or Ontonagon counties?
It would be great to have people in all counties that we could call. But the greatest need is Houghton and Keweenaw.
You also opened up in Marquette County.
We did.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, just in time for COVID.
Yeah.
How's that gone?
I would say that's going great. We have two staff. We have an office there. We are doing our friendly visiting program and holiday celebrations and also small activities now. So it's exciting.
Are you seeing an end to the tunnel? with COVID-19 at all? I know it shut down all those friendly visits for a while. Are you getting to a point where your volunteers and maybe some of your clients are saying, come on in?
Yes. Yes. And we're in the process of planning our holidays, and, you know, I can let Gil talk.
That was going to be my next question. Are we going to get back to the point where we have the sit-down holiday dinners that people so appreciated?
Well, we haven't made a decision on that yet, and we're sending out a survey. Again, we are supported by volunteers doing our holiday dinners. We need to know if people are interested in coming back into the sit-down dinners, which are very, very special. We have done delivery, and that was just another challenge that we faced during the COVID era here, where we did all delivery. We still delivered 3,000 meals annually for Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And we did it with all the compliance requirements being met through the health department.
Yep.
And we got those turkey dinners and ham dinners out. So this year we are considering it. We haven't made a decision yet, but we're doing some legwork here to find out if we're going to do the sit-down dinners again starting in November.
Well, and I know that that also had an effect on the visits that traditionally came with those meals that were delivered, because in the past you would bring meals out to those who were homebound. And the charge along with that was you didn't just walk up to the door and say, hey, here you go. You spent a few minutes, you talked to that person, you made sure they were okay, you filled a little time in their lives and made them feel special.
Yes.
Obviously, that stopped not only because of the COVID situation, but because all of a sudden you had to deliver 3,000 meals instead of a few hundred.
Yes.
So,
but, you know, I will add to what Gail said. The first year of COVID, we volunteers were approaching us for the holiday saying, thank you for giving us an opportunity to do something. And that, I found that really special. Volunteers wanted a way to help. And so we have kept the hot meals deliveries going, but we know we have elderly friends who are so anxious to come out together and eat together, and volunteers too. But there's a lot of logistics involved to make the sit-down dinners work.
Yeah, and if you throw into that the additional things that we've had to deal with COVID in terms of making sure that everybody stays safe, because the last thing you want is for it to backfire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we would all feel terrible if there was some problem that came out of it. So I think everybody understands why the changes were made. And I think everybody deeply appreciates that you were able to keep the program going.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form, even though it wasn't necessarily what we wanted. And I think we all kind of hope that maybe at some point we'll be able to get back to where we need to be. Is there anything else that we need to touch base on? What other programs do you have? What other help do you need at this point?
You know, I think we're always in need of volunteers. I think as the holidays approach, we have been told that turkeys are going to be in short supply. So we're already thinking about what alternatives if we can't get a traditional turkey.
Okay, so what you're saying is if somebody's got a big chest freezer at home, you're going to want to buy like a turkey a week for the next 13 weeks so we can stock up on those puppies in advance.
And I don't even know if you can get them yet.
I haven't seen them in the grocery stores.
So there's so much that happens behind the scenes to make that all work. So we're definitely in the planning stages, and we'll have some decisions to make about can we do sit-down dinners and what is our menu going to be. So
maybe we have options this year.
Yes.
And when you think about the time in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you're talking 4 weeks or less to redo or to restart and do the whole thing over again. So,
yeah, that's a big challenge.
I know that
there are, as you mentioned, there are a lot of volunteers and there are families who build their holidays.
Yes.
Around this very worthy thing.
Traditions have, you know, Little Brothers has become a tradition for so many volunteers. Well, that's awesome.
There are so many good things that Little Brothers does, and congratulations on 40 years.
Thank you.
If someone wants to help out with Little Brothers, either as a volunteer or financially, because obviously it takes money to do all of this.
Definitely.
And more every day. How do they proceed to help out?
They can contact us by phone, 906-482-6944. They can check out our website, houghton.littlebrothers.org, or they can stop in. We have open door policy now, which is so great to be beyond that.
Yeah.
So people can always stop in. We've got wonderful greeters every day who can answer questions and point people in the right direction. So
excellent. Well, Kathy Cass Aiton and Gail Ross from Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly, what are you pointing at here?
I really want to take this opportunity to thank the community for your support. Little Brothers could not be here without a community that really believes in what we do.
Yeah.
And we're really fortunate. I do want to send a huge thank you out to our 40th anniversary sponsors, Insight Wealth Solutions and Ameriprise Wealth Advisory Practice, Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly Foundation.
Yes.
Aspirus Health, and Dr. and Mrs. Tom and Donna Cole. And
Wonderful.
These, we just, you know, thank everybody for what you do. Our sponsors are really making our 40th a special, special celebration.
Well, congratulations again, and thanks for coming in on Copper Country Today.
Thank you
so much, Todd.